Governor Phil Scott announced last night that Vermont schools would remain closed for the rest of the academic year to slow the spread of the coronavirus. An earlier order had closed schools between March 18th and April 6th. It is news that will have a huge impact on kids, parents, teachers, and staff. And here to talk about what it might mean for his school going forward is Scott Sivo. He's the principal of the K-8 Shelburne Community School. Good morning.
Good morning, Mitch. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Thank you very much for being with us this morning. I really appreciate it. Did this announcement come in any way as a surprise to you, or was it something you'd kind of been expecting?
I've been, wrestling with that since last night. I think in some ways the message from the governor wasn't unpredictable. I think that we have obviously been following the public health crisis in the state and the nation and have been planning around what we would do in this situation. But I would say, there's always a suddenness to that decision that obviously falls on the governor, and I think it hit all of us who work in the industry and work in, K-12 education.
Yeah, I realize the announcement was, made late yesterday afternoon, early evening, but I wonder how members of your school's community have been responding to this point. Have you heard much?
I haven't heard much from our parents and our students. Made an attempt, and I think all principals did last night, to reach out just via email to assure parents of our commitment to the work going forward of beginning remote learning and continuing to push forward for our students. So I don't really have a sense of where they are with the decision, but certainly I know that the work over the last 2 weeks has really been going on behind the scenes of schools across the state doing the best they can to prepare for the work that we obviously saw on the horizon.
Yeah, the remote instruction has been ongoing during this interim period, I guess you could call it. And I'm wondering how the kind of remote learning that you're offering, how that will change with this news that kids won't be returning, at least for the rest of this academic year.
Yeah, the state has what I think outlined a way for schools to slowly wade into these new waters. Over the last 2 weeks, we've been talking and using the state language around maintenance of learning. And so I'd say for the next 7 to 10 days going forward, our goal is going to be to use online platforms to produce a menu of learning options for parents and for students that they can access that are optional in nature, that are looking to maintain the skills that students currently have. As we move forward, we're looking at how we're going to move learning forward. And that really is that definition of remote learning, where we are going to look at the learning targets and the standards that we have for our students that we would carry for them in a traditional classroom and begin to design learning and assessment that's going to, move them forward towards those goals and towards the skills that we expect our students to acquire in a given grade level.
Well, it's almost April, so I guess there's about a two-month gap here, a little bit more than that, really, to fill. Do you need to come up with a new plan, or are you going to sort of continue along the path that you started once you found out that the schools would be closed, at least initially through April 6th?
Yeah, I mean, I can only speak to Shelburne Community School, and we've tried to build a flexible plan that was going to allow us to tackle, that challenge if it did come up as we were looking initially at April 6th. So, we've done the work of creating a remote learning website that has individual pages for our grade levels and our middle level teams. And right now it's serving, like I said, as sort of a weekly menu of these are the options that students could engage in each of their core subject areas and their and in their arts classes. We will, ramp that up as we get into this remote learning period where we'll probably see, daily or every other day updates with assignments and activities for students that, right now we believe will be compulsory. But again, all of this is really predicated on the guidance that we get from the state of Vermont, which we'll continue to be tuned into as we move forward to that period of remote learning.
Does that guidance, what you're looking for, Principal Sivo, also extend to special education and remote learning for special education students? How are those needs going to be addressed?
I think that is, the key point in this transition. I think our ability to offer intervention to students and offer student services in an online platform is perhaps the biggest challenge that we have, and that's just because it is highly individualized and it is something where we need to provide FAPE. We need to provide that free and appropriate public education that's in line with the individual plans of our students. And so it's one thing to have a group of 20 students in an online chat. It's another thing to provide highly individualized instruction for a student that is, tailored to their plan. And so I think that's a lot of the thinking that's going on now is when we take that step into remote learning, what will those student services look like?
And what about end of the school year, ceremonies, gatherings, things like that? I can pretty much guess that's pretty low priority right now, but do you have any information on that?
And we have no information other than some early thinking and ideas that we were bouncing off of each other about how we would make this happen for our students. I think that's the other piece beyond special education. The rites of passage and the community aspects of learning are going to be the biggest challenges that we face. And it sounds like low priority, but to a high school senior or an eighth grader finishing a 10-year career at a K-8 school, it's extremely high priority for them. And I just think that that's a challenge that a K-12 remote learning or online education system has, that most of the online learning that probably your listeners have done over time, when you're a college student in an online course, you have a relationship perhaps with the professor. There might be some chat boards where you're talking with members of your class. What we're doing here is trying to maintain a sense of community within our small towns, sense of community within classrooms and teams.
Principal Siebel, I'm going to leave it there. I'm sorry, we're up against the clock. Thank you so much for the time this morning.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, Matt.
That's Scott Siebel, principal of K-8 Shelburne Community School.